All right. Today we are going to continue our faith basics that we have been on for a very long time, and we went into a particular sub section of it, which I called the Believer's Hope or Victory. We began that one a few weeks ago. And last Saturday, we talked about what I call the Fraternity of Christ when we're putting titles to the message. We're going to continue from that point, all right? In fact, if you remember last week, I said that we should open our Bibles to a particular book, but we ended up not reading it. I think we should just start from there today. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. Today I'm going to begin to talk about just a continuation of a believer's hope of victory. We are going to begin to talk about the matter of growing in grace. What did I call it? Before we read from there, just first of all, let's read from the book of Luke chapter 2. There's something I just want to read, one verse there, so as to explain the principle. From verse, let me just start from verse 51. This was immediately after Jesus was being looked for by his parents and the family members. They finally found him in the house of God. And he said, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" And they did not understand the statement which he made. And he then, verse 51 says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart." Now, where I'm going is verse 52. He said, "And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Please, I want you to notice those words. He said he kept increasing. Please, I want you to say that, increasing. See, there's something about spiritual things which you must never forget. Now, I read this to bring out that principle. We always increase. Are you getting my point? And the key to survival in life is increase. Did you hear what I said? The key to survival is what? Increase. You must continue to increase. That is the key to survival. One day I was preaching on radio, on TV. Actually, it was something I said here which you put on TV. And afterwards, I was at work. And one woman who works in the same building, the laboratory building in our former site of the teaching hospital, she now saw me and said, "Doc, I was watching you on TV. And I heard you say something I'd never heard anybody say before. What was it?" I said that, by that time I'd been married for like, I think, 9 years. And I said, "I love my wife more now than I did when I first married her." And said she had never heard it before. That she had never heard it before. She just stopped me on the road and said, "Doc, that's very nice. I've never heard it before. I've never heard anybody say it." Are you getting my point? Anyway, we're not discussing marriage matters now. I just refer to that to bring out an issue. The key to survival, all right, is what? Increase. It's increase. That's the key to survival. If you are doing business, the day you know your business has ended and you have become a failure, it's not when your business collapses. It is when you get satisfied with the level where it is in. Even if you are earning ₦1 million profit every other week, it doesn't matter. Once you are now happy that, we have now arrived. We have now become one of the big boys. Do you get my point? Just know that business has begun to die. Businesses that survive, the people keep on having strategies for increase. That's the way it is. I remember Yonggi Cho made the statement that life is like you are pedaling up on a bicycle, of course, up a hill. The moment you stop exerting effort, you start rolling back down. Listen, that principle applies in every aspect of life. It applies in every aspect of life. Increase, that's what you must always strive for. I'm a preacher. That's the primary thing I do in life. And as much as... Now, let me tell you something. It's different. I'm not saying that people should be dissatisfied with where they are as in being ungrateful. Are you getting my point? No. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that wherever you are, you should know that there are places to get to that you have not yet reached. If you are happy with where you are, as in being ready to settle in the place, it's what the Bible calls the prosperity of fools. And that's what destroys them. That's the way life. In fact, the meeting I went for that I said made me come a bit late was Rocky and I that came back together and we were discussing. And I told him a story of once. I said that if God does not satisfy you in life, you are doomed. What I mean is that if the knowledge of God and your relationship with God does not bring you satisfaction, you are You are a doomed creature. If you get your satisfaction from material things, you can never be happy in life. And this is the reason. We're driving on the road, we're seeing cars, we're talking. I told him the story of the day we went for a program, and I saw the latest Honda Accord then parked. And I admired it very well, and then I went inside. Then when we came out, I saw the latest LS470 or something, Lexus, parked beside it, making the Honda Accord look like a poverty-stricken car driven by a sinner man. I said that day, I looked at it, I said, God, any man who does not draw satisfaction from you, life will frustrate him. The moment you think you have arrived, you just see another thing. Why I brought that issue is that, look, that's just the way life is, all right? Whatever God places in your hand, I'm not saying you are not deriving satisfaction, okay, from that outward thing. But God has committed something to your hand that you must continuously increase. Anything you don't continuously increase in, you begin to die in it. I said I'm a preacher. Every day when we make advancements in Kingdom World Ministries and the outreaches that we are getting involved in, I always have another dream in my mind. In fact, the dream I have in mind, we have not even reached it, so let's even forget whether I have another dream. The real thing that I'm praying that we will get into, all right? We have not even come near scratching the surface of it yet. So, you see, people think that it's about what is a man looking for. I've said it again and again. People say, what is a man looking for? It is not what you are looking for, as in what you will eat, what you shall drink, what will you wear. That's not the point. As of today, I don't have all the money in the world, but there's nothing I want to eat I don't eat. Look, ask my wife. I don't like strange things. If I get, maybe we'll go to for a dinner, buffet. You not go, they not tell you it's a Spanish cuisine for this night. Once I can't identify it, I don't eat it. Because I don't want to wake up at night wondering why my stomach left the correct position and went somewhere else. I don't, that's just me. My wife will tell me that you're a very dry man. I say, yes, I dry like this, now you marry me, fine. All right? That means dry men are handsome men. It's good. You have testified to the fact that girls should marry dry guys. You marry this dry one. Now, that's the joke. Well, what I'm going to bring out is that, that's just, what I'm saying is that, it's not food we are running after. When I'm happy for house, I'm hungry for night, I put garri inside a cup, put groundnut inside, throw it in a few cubes of sugar, and I'm rejoicing with gladness. And my children will be queuing up, begging for it. Yes, because it's riches. It's CNN that makes it look as if it's poverty. It's wealth. It's grand prosperity that's making me so garri at night with gladness. What I'm saying is that it's not what we will eat we are talking about. It is that the Bible says of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. That's what I am going for. In the last 3 days, I have like 2-3 new books that entered my head. I said, Kai, there's one I'm working on. I've not finished. They're like two queuing up. Then two titles jumped into my head again. I said, Jesus Christ. That is, I have to keep writing. I'm not writing to compete with anybody. I have to keep writing. The number of books I will personally author in this life, I don't believe they can be less than 200. I don't mean just transcript. So if you add all the books, people will help you transcribe. They go plenty now. What are you talking about? Barbara Cartland, I remember when I was very young. She used to write romance novels. There was one book that was in our house. I still remember on the cover of it was written her 200 deaths. Novel. That is, she had written 200 books. Around nonsense. 9 days inside. All the books were boy sees girl, boy loves girl, papa say no. The two of them ran away. They now finally marry, reconcile, and live together happily ever after. Never, they passed like that. And she wrote 200. What about me? Jesus said to whom? Then Peter said to Jesus, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. What about those of us that have the words of eternal life? I go write, I don't go tired. By the time I finally leave this world, one book must be half finished. You said this was the last book the great man was writing. He got to chapter 6, and from his outline, we knew he was going to chapter 18. And then he said, it is enough. What I'm saying is that's what Christianity is. That's what life is. You must continuously what? Increase. You must continuously increase. It's not about what more are you looking for? Listen, whatever you are looking for, you ask God for it. You must have satisfaction in little. So it's not what you are looking for to make you happy. It is that there's an order, there's a spiritual order of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. And the earth must be filled with the knowledge. You see, it's a matter of progression. It's a particular level now, it has to go to another level. And that's where your life is going to be. If you build a business, you get to a particular level, say, now we are rich. You have just ended everything. You know, there's a particular bus company in this country. I look at their buses now, I laugh. I tell my friends, this company will soon be wiped out, except they do something interesting. Because every day people are swearing, I will never enter them again. I will never use their transit facility. Why? Because they will break down the way. You pay for a comfortable air-conditioned transportation for an 8 hours journey. 2 hours into the journey, the vehicle breaks down. They fix it, put it together. You drive 6 hours inside. You know, to travel in the sun inside a luxury bus in Nigeria is not the will of God if there's no AC there. And we sat down, we analyzed, I said, you know their problem? They became content. They became happy. They had money. They had issued public, you know, issued shares and made a lot of money. Everybody is happy. We have buses. I said, so those who have airlines, they came with 3 heads into this world. You have not asked yourself that question. If you are doing transport business, you have 1 taxi today. What's wrong with 2 taxis? What is wrong with 3 taxis? What's wrong with a fleet of taxis? And what is wrong with charter flights? You know, small, planes. Then what's wrong with domestic airlines? And what's wrong with 1 or 2 international, craft for international flights? International airline, don't start. And what's wrong with you being another Cathay Pacific? British Airways was not made in heaven. Are you getting my point? I mean, they were started by people. One of the greatest things, all right, I will know that I've really labored in this life, and God has blessed my labor, is when I see men women that I knew those days, and they were doing business of 2 naira here, 3 naira here. Now you see them on the road, you meet at an airport. Say, Pastor, where are you going? Say, ah, where are you going? Ah, we just came back from acquiring, mention one fantastic airline somewhere. We then went, merged that one with one we took from the Middle East, and we took the grace of God. Now they say, where are the headquarters? Ah, okay, where are you going? I ain't go here now. Then I don't want you to even be fat that time. Still be slim like this. We're not talking about eating more. Please, I hope you get the point. Yeah. Let me not get beside myself, but I just want to throw in that principle. That's the way life is. Now, that same thing applies in spiritual things. One of my best tracks, as far as Joy is concerned, and I happen to agree with her, is, are we all equal before God? So potentially, yes, we may all be equal, but in reality, we cannot all be equal, because if we're all equal, there will be no space for growth. Do you get the point? That one man senior another person is a matter of divine truth. That when Jesus raised Lazarus, he was to show everybody who was his most senior man. I've discussed that thing before. I won't go over it now. The raising of Lazarus the way he did, instead of coming to heal the man before he died. The Bible says when he heard that he was sick, he tarried there deliberately, knowing he would die for 2 extra days. Thereafter, he was sure that the man was properly dead. And I said, let us now go and raise him up and wake him up. Disciples said that, there's the place where they want to kill you. If he's asleep, it is good. A man who sleeps eventually wake up. Just that you don't get the point. Bobo, don't die. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there while he was only sick. It is good that he's dead. So that when I get there, and you see the way I'll pull the man out of the grave, you will have no doubt in your heart that I'm a senior man. He did things that nobody before him ever did, and nobody after him will ever do. Listen, when he raised Lazarus, it was to prove that he had hit the ultimate. Let me say something to you again about the temptations of Job. I have read the Bible a bit. For a long time, I wondered the story about Job. Now, don't ever forget, Satan did not come to complain about Job to God. Go and read that story. Who brought up the matter of Job? The good God himself. He said, what do you define? He said, I just a waka pass. That's what Satan said. From where? He said from to and fro, just a waka around. Jobless, aimless, you know what I'm saying? You see, a man wake up in the morning, doesn't know where he's good, doesn't know where he's coming from. You're not the Holy Ghost, you're a jobless man. You're getting the principle. You have a purpose for your movements. Anyway, Satan was moving to and fro. Then God now said, in your movement, did you notice my servant Job? And the guy said, yes, I did. I don't trouble him because of the amount of protection you put around him. Let me summarize it. God now said, good, I will remove the protection. Now go and trouble him for me. Satan was an assignment from God. The question is why? Because Job said, I'm quoting David now. He said, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. When a man gets to that level, God knows he needs some shaking. Job had obeyed God and he had prospered. Go and read Job 29. You see, the man analyzed the way he walked and pleased God and how that brought forth prosperity for him. He had done everything that he knew to do. And God had poured abundance upon him in accordance with the obedience that he had obeyed God up to that particular level that he knew. This is what I'm saying. The man now rested and said, I'm okay. And God now said, no, I have more blessings for people like you. I don't know whether I get the point. People like you can't stay in this level and stay there. We have to shake this man up to another level. We're not analyzing Job in details now, but this is the point. God wanted to shake Job up to a level where he will never be satisfied again. Because Job, his yardstick for measuring righteousness was human beings like himself. And he had excelled beyond every man that he knew. Therefore, he rested. And God said, no, it's not good. The summary of it was that when men came to challenge Job, they could not find any occasion to accuse this man. He was a perfect man. Even God testified. But that was when he used the mankind. All right? Mankind like him as the yardstick. There was no man found like Job anywhere. He was the greatest of all men in the East. Now, this is the point I'm making. Job's initial measurement was by man. So when men tried to challenge him, are you getting my point? The man excelled beyond all of them. Therefore, they shut up. Bildad shut up. All the other men shut up. Then Elihu began to speak. Elihu said, I'm not using the yardstick of men. He said, I withdraw my knowledge from afar, or my wisdom from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. That is, we will use God as a yardstick to measure your righteousness. Let's see where you will stand. That was what happened to Job. When God was used as a yardstick for his measurement, the man could not stand. Therefore, he realized that he needed to repent in dust and in ashes. What am I saying? Job got to a point where he was satisfied. Are you getting my point? And he was no longer moving forward. And God said, no, no, no. I am your standard, not men like yourself. Therefore, Satan was allowed to just shake Job out of his comfort. That's all. God never doubted that Job... I mean, God bragged on Job. God never doubted that Job wouldn't deny him. He knew. He knew. He knew that at the end of this 1 year trial, less than a year trial, I will now have... No, God always requires an excuse to bless. You know, I've said that thing before. Just like you don't know what God uses to do what. He said, when I will have finished with Job this period, I will now have enough excuses to pour a greater measure of blessing upon him than he ever had before. What am I saying? We must always increase in our work with God. Men are not the same. We are potentially the same. In the realm of the... in the heavens, if you look into the realm of the spirit, you will see that God has placed all of us on the same level in Christ Jesus. But what we experience on this earth differs from one person to another. Let me just chip this one in. I have studied as an observed life, and I have discovered that beyond what a man preaches, be careful how you follow him. What I mean is this. One day, a man of God, somebody took a gun, faced him, shot him, killed him. And it was a serious matter in the country. And I remember I was with a friend of mine. That night I was distraught. I felt terrible. There was a man I loved, I admired. I used to go to their church, his church, to go and listen to him teach when I got to Lagos. I knew him from days before then. So it really saddened me. And I remember my friend who was sitting beside me that day when I told him the news, because I knew the whole world didn't know yet. But I knew because my friend was in the unit, neurosurgery unit that they took him to. So he just told me, say, Banky, see what happened. I got to work, and this was what I met. So the thing was really, really sad. So we knew ahead of time before everybody knew, all right? Because he was brought rushed to our hospital, all right, for treatment. So that day I was telling my friend what happened. Ah! He saw that I was feeling very bad. And you know what he said? He said, I understand. If that can happen to him, what about the rest of us? I don't care what happens to him. I am only having, do you understand? It's out of love. I'm not afraid for my life because of him. How he's walking his walk with God, that will not really concern me. If he, you know, recently, those of you who are into news, one very great man in the world, his wife divorced him, or he divorced his wife. And we'll be told that between the two of them, sharp, somebody divorced the other. He's a big man, a great man. I started watching him minister since I was a year two or year three student at the University of Benin. It does not mean that I think that because that can happen to him, one day me too, I'll divorce my wife. Do you understand my point? What I mean is that whatever happened that brought that one to him, I feel bad and I pray to God for healing for him. But that doesn't mean I think that is what is ahead for me. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Listen, men are men. Oh, I wish you would get what I'm saying. You know, there's this stupidity we practice these days in Christianity. What did I call it? Stupidity. We look at men of God as if they are, you know, as a man of God. I'm a man of the world. I'm a man of Satan. I'm a man of myself. Whatever it is. So he's more special than I am. Let me tell you something. When a man is holding a microphone and administering the word of God, he's anointed. You know what anointed means? It means he's a donkey and he's carrying Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. An anointed man is just a donkey upon which Jesus Christ is riding. If you understood, say amen. Amen. It doesn't mean he's a special man. He just means that he's a donkey. And Jesus has chosen this donkey to ride him into Jerusalem. So when they are shouting Babake, the donkey will be a real donkey. To think that Babake, he said, Hosanna, he said, in as serious as I did tough, I will save all of you. Don't worry, don't worry. I will die for your sins. I'm going to sacrifice right now. I shall be killed for your transgressions. I shall be flogged for your iniquities. The chastisement of your pain shall call upon me. And by my blood, the new covenant shall come into your life. They will kill the donkey right there. If you think so, if you think such crazy thoughts. Are you getting my point? An anointed man is just the donkey upon which Jesus Christ is riding. I used to say those days, and it really happened to me. I said, you want to chase woman as a man of God? Not chase woman for your church, it's not good. Go to your friend's church. Please, you understand what I'm saying? Yes. I said, look, I understood something. Once you mount the pulpit, especially if God is riding heavy on your back, do you get my point? Ah, everybody loves you. It's not their fault. You are reflecting God towards you. You'll just be looking handsome. With your poverty and bad English, you will be looking handsome. All the bullets you are releasing, the young sisters won't notice. I was telling my wife a story that day about a young lady who got engaged to one man of God. After some time, the engagement broke. Why? Because when she related with him personally, all those hot things were there for pulpit, not there for household. When brothers say hallelujah, oh, we praise God, you know. Right now, the Lord said, listen, when they got, when real matter came, he couldn't call forth money by prophecy. In a meeting, he can say, hey, you, take it, anoint him. Fire, you fall down. He couldn't tell the girl, take the ring, and it appear in her hand. He had to go to the market to go and buy it. And money now, he not get. And the girl wake up to reality, and they marry again. So, you know me, I always learn from that people's mistakes. So, that one, me, I came down very well. So that you understand that that anointing is not my personal property. I can't use it to buy you food. You are getting what I'm saying? Yes, it doesn't guarantee anything. You can be laying hands on the sick, eh? And they'll be getting healed one after the other. Then sickness will take you, kill you. Sharp, sharp. And you open your mouth like, what happened? That man was ministering to the sick. It was Jesus was just riding a donkey. There's no guarantee that if the donkey doesn't reach to Jesus by faith for his own healing, he will get anything. That's why, listen, I never believe those who say that, look, as a preacher of prosperity, you must show prosperity. It's not true. No, let me give you, let me give you normal, natural things as illustration. Like we're talking the other day about fraternity of Christ. I gave some examples. Most of the babalawos that make men rich, they don't have money. They're in the villages. You know the reason? One, what is driving you is not driving them. And they're not willing to make the sacrifices you are willing to make. They will kill your son for you, but they won't kill their own. Now you want that, they don't want that. No, the man doesn't want to die. You're the one that wants to die. He knows where you are going, and he doesn't want to go there. So you see the man, he's managing. You pay him his fees. The fee will finish until you get another client. You will go and become babaki all over town. It does not mean anything. It doesn't mean that the guy, his medicine is not working. His medicine is working. And that's the way it is with preachers also. So don't think that a preacher of prosperity must look rich. Paul said, as poor, yet making many rich. What I'm explaining something here is that, look, when it comes to walking with God, you don't walk with God through a man. Which is a madness we practice a lot in Christianity. There's one joke I hear a lot. See, as your pastor is prospering, you will prosper. Your pastor can die in poverty and you prosper. It's all around rubbish. If he doesn't want to walk with God, it's his problem. Because what he's using to bless is an anointing. Listen, I read books that I wrote and I will be shocked. Who wrote this? That is sometimes I write, I have forgotten what I wrote because when I was writing, it's the same unction with which I teach that I write. It comes upon me, I know it. There are times I'm typing so fast on the computer. I'm typing and typing and typing. I can't even slow down to correct the errors. I will have written pages and pages and pages and pages. I'm making typos as I'm going on. I said, don't worry, we'll come back to correct it. Sometimes I finish writing, I save it, I forget. There are books I wrote for the next 3 years. I didn't look at them again. The day I opened the book again, I said, what? Who wrote this? Man, see insight, see revelation. I didn't know it. I had forgotten it. So if I preach things, all right? These are prophetic unctions. Look, it's an anointing. It's not me. I'm just talking. It's a donkey that's been ridden by the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I finish delivering the words to you, if you take the words and use them, all right? And I don't use those same words, you can prosper and I will fail. That's why Jesus said, don't let anybody impress you. And he said, you know what Jesus said? Don't let anybody be calling you father. We like it these days. Papa, 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 papa. You know, we love it. Our father, we love it. Go and read Matthew 23. Jesus said, don't let anybody call you by that name. It's not good. He said, don't let anybody call you rabbi. Rabbi was a man who taught. You understand? Everybody followed around. He said, don't forget, you are all brethren. That is, if there are four people in the congregation and there's one pastor, just like brother A and brother B or brother C or brother D could succeed, so is brother E, the pastor, could succeed. The pastor also can fail. If he does not take the word of God and abide by it. When I see Christians these days, the problem we have is idolatry. I thank God for the setting in which I grew up. We learned long ago to know Jesus Christ for ourselves directly. It doesn't mean you don't need preachers. I mean, that's why you are here. But you don't ever forget. That's the donkey I'm going to listen to. I don't know whether I get my point. Is just a brother. After all, we are all brethren. So it shouldn't shock you when they tell you that, hey, this brother, he used to pray for the sick, pray for the sick, and then one day he didn't die. And a sickness finish him. A man can be there, ministering powerfully, healing marriages by the teaching of the word of God, and his wife will carry a gun, shoot him from the back. Why? Because what he was teaching you, he was not applying it. He was too busy teaching you. He will tell you everything God has to say about your marriage. He doesn't hear it and use it in his own marriage. Why do you think God commanded Sabbath? Everybody must rest. Because when you've gone out to preach, if you're a preacher, and you don't settle down and cool your temper, are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Or you look, you'll be delivering other people and you'll be going into bondage. Paul said that I'm very careful. I put my body under so that it will not happen that after I have given everybody else, shown them the right way, after I have ministered so much, I myself will now become a castaway. I was listening to one man analyze the meaning of the word castaway. He was explaining a principle there that those days when they wanted to do, when they are going to, it's based on sports, that word castaway that Paul was using. It's based on sporting. That those days they had these games that used to play, like this day we have Olympics and stuff like that. That before the day of the game, if you want to compete as an athlete, do you understand? You entered into the stadium and you stayed there for the next 9 months. They had hostels. They used to exercise almost stark naked, even when it is cold in the winter. That's where you hear Paul talking about enduring hardship. He used the word that these men strive for mastery, but they get a crown that perishes. But we are getting a crown that will not perish. You see Paul describing those things. What he was saying is that men had to go through discipline. And this man I was listening to, he explained the Greek word behind it, that what happens is that if you disobey any rule in the camp, they threw you out of the game. And that's what Paul was saying. You can teach everybody else how to play the game. You disobey the rules, they kick you out of the stadium. Are you getting my point? You have to learn how to relate with men. I am just a teacher of the word of God. Do you get my point? The fact that I teach here and you are blessed by it, it does not guarantee that that's how good my house is. It's my personal problem. Whether I'll take the same truths that I'm teaching you, whether I'll take the same truths I have learned, some of which I'm bringing forth to explain things to you again, whether I'll take those truths and live by them. If I choose not to live by them, you will watch me fail. It doesn't mean I lied to you. I don't know whether I get my point. It doesn't mean I lied to you. It doesn't mean the things I said are not true. It just means I did not use what I was preaching. That I preached and then I was cast away. Why? Because I was not disciplined. Because the discipline that every child of God requires, the minister of the gospel also requires it, if his life is going to seek progress. I hit around in churches, on TV, everywhere. As the man of God is increasing, so you will be increasing. I said, listen, if the man lies, let me shrink. Any man who will obey the word of God will increase. And like Bishop Oedipo used to say those days, whether you like it or not, me, I will prosper. Whether you agree with what I'm saying or not, I will prosper. Whether you follow, do you understand my point? That is, my prosperity is not dependent on anybody else's own. It's dependent upon my obedience to God. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Like I said, I'm chipping that one in by the side. So let's continue. So what you find is that we have to increase. Now I said we should open the one scripture, Hebrews chapter 4. I've not read it, all right? Quickly, let's read one, then we'll get down to that Hebrews chapter 4. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 3. This Christian walk is a race. You can take encouragement from the lives of people, and I do. You've heard me quote men. I give people's lives as examples. But go and read Hebrews chapter 11 and then read into chapter 12. After Hebrews chapter 11 described all the examples that we have. He now said, you do only one thing. You look unto Jesus. That is, that's the person you fix your gaze upon. If you look at a man, maybe I've been a blessing to you by the teaching of the word of God. And then one day you see my life not going in a direction that you think is totally in agreement with the word of God. Don't be discouraged. You know what you do? You just say, this is one area where the man doesn't seem to be getting it. Because human beings are just human beings. They can miss it. In fact, this morning, this afternoon, I was thinking about my life. And I thought about the grace that God has given me. And I thanked him for it. This is what I mean. That I'm able to listen to someone like Kenny Higgin and someone like R.B. Thiem side by side is the grace of God. Because the two of them are so much in disagreement. If you see this R.B. Thiem man, so racist, that is, I shouldn't listen to him if I was a typical human being. You know what I mean? The man is racist. He considers black people of below normal intelligence. And you hear him, hear it in his messages. And when he says it, I laugh. That is, as he's saying it, I'm laughing. Oh, foolish Galatian. That's what I think. Preach the next sermon. This one is a lie. car because I got it. In fact, this is a man who inspired me to do MP3s. I did MP3 before I saw anybody do it. I know, as God is my witness, I never saw any Nigerian do MP3 CDs before we did. Not one. Most people bought our MP3s then. They were the first time they saw anything called MP3s. They didn't even know where to play it. We had to be explaining that your DVD player can play it. If you buy, we had to be explaining how to play MP3 CDs. This was a man I got inspiration from. And he had been doing MP3 CDs since maybe the 90s, 80s. When did it become popular? Are you getting my point? He's been doing MP3 CDs for a very long time. So I have some of his CDs in my car. One CD containing like maybe 18 messages, 20 messages, you know, plenty. Sometimes I'm listening to one of the messages, I just say, this man has come again, and I will flip to the next one. Now, why is he fooling himself? When his preacher said, oh, this is, well, now I'm more mature than when I first heard some of these people. I said, this is the era of ministry. Because you are a conservative, does not mean you must mount the pulpit and use your influence over people to preach your political opinion. And that's why you hear me say it a lot. I watch American TV. And I see all this support for Israel, all this kind of thing that they say. And they say it's scripture. It's a lie. Hear it from me. Those guys are not, they're not preaching Bible. It's their opinion. I'm not saying whether it's good or bad right now. But the fact is what? It's their opinion. But because they are preachers, they use preaching to propagate personal opinions. Sometimes I hear it, I just say, I better forget that side. This is politics. You know when a preacher goes into politics, if you are very, very discerning. When he's using this, not that, look, northern Nigeria, southern Nigeria, I just know he has left the gospel of Jesus. I was in the church once, a man was saying that, a big man, that, how can you call a nation like, a country like Nigeria a nation? How did you come to be in the first place? I just put my head down and said, my friend, stop this politics. You know, when the northern, you know, north-south issues is paining you in the body. You understand my point? You have now decided to be venting it upon my neck. What is your problem? Go and join PDP. You know, I like Tunde Bakare. You know, have you seen what he does? Yes. Go and carry placard at Abuja Street. I tell my wife, that is not ministry. That's Tunde Bakare. It's not a prophet office. That's just a normal Nigerian doing what he likes. It's not good. It's not bad. It's nothing. It's just Tunde Bakare. I won't follow him because he's a prophet. That's not prophecy. You hear what I said? No, what I'm telling you is not, I'm not criticizing the man. I love him from the bottom of my heart. And if he calls me when he's going, I probably will follow him. But I will not ask you to follow me. Because you are following me based on teaching of the word of God. And that is not the word of God. That's our personal habit. Are you getting my point? Some people don't drink Coke. Is that ministry? That's their problem. Some don't drink Fanta. Some don't drink juice. The sugar is too much. That's not ministry. That's just their personal problem. I don't know why you get what I'm saying. So I told my wife, I said, you see Pastor Tunde Bakare? I said, yes. I said, that is just him. That's not church. Chris Okotie decided to contest presidency. It's not ministry. It's just his life. I don't know. And he has a right to contest to be anything. Including local government councillor, if that's what he wants. Ministers, sometimes they make that mistake. They make that mistake. You now mount the pulpit and start preaching your agenda because God gave you a platform. It's one of the disciplines every preacher must learn. But what I'm preaching about is you, as a Christian, as a child of God. Just be discerning. When a man starts doing his personal agenda, this means don't be angry with him. Don't write him off. That's the mistake we make. We just write people off entirely. Unless he makes that thing dominate the whole of his ministry. That's when I'll write him off. Otherwise, I told that man I was listening to, I heard him say it, that black people are of lower than normal intelligence and women should not vote. If you want, I take you to my car, I play it for you. And as he's saying it, I just laugh. I say, hey, Claire, preach something else. This is not the gospel. I will wind the tape when he starts talking to his personal agendas and get to the place where he's preaching the gospel. You have to learn that. What I'm trying to say is that, so if you see a man derail, don't say, we didn't know he was like this. It has nothing to do with, look, even Jesus said it concerning Pharisees. You know he said it. He said, see, the Pharisees, they sat in the seat of Moses. That is, they have become the teachers of the law in Israel. He said, therefore, do whatever they tell you, but don't follow their lifestyle. That's what he told the Jews. He said, once they enter that seat of Moses, as they are reading the law, be obeying it. When they get up and start doing hypocrisy, please don't follow that side. One day, a woman and I were talking. He said, those days, why she did not follow? She was not serious about Christianity. Was that she didn't like the kind of example that some people, we mentioned a few men of God. He said she didn't like the kind of example that the people were to the body, to people, that what kind of Christianity is that? So I said, okay, so you know what is right and you know what is wrong. So why didn't you just do what is right if you know that they are hypocrites? For you to point and call somebody a hypocrite means at least you know what is right. And so life built. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, oh God, I don't know what I just feel like explaining this thing further. Because it confuses, I think that's why, it confuses Christians. As a preacher, how could he? Preaching is a job. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. What did I say? It's a job. If a bank manager can do it, a preacher can do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I agree, that's, it's my personal responsibility to make sure that my life is an example. But if I refuse to do that, don't just get angry. If you hear that, Pastor Banky, every evening, he go there fighting wife, they blow the, not say the woman, they wear glasses now. No be bad eye. Now the guy don't punch her, don't, eye don't change color. Be angry. Are you getting my point? Pray for me if I do that. Pray. But Bible study time, still come. When I start talking about rebellious women, close your ears. You should know that my problem is punching back. Don't just hear me again. But once I finish that and I start talking about the fraternity of Christ, open your ears. Because the anointing has come. Don't go and marry and go and buy glove because you were listening to the guy who used to beat his wife. It's not normal life. I hope you get what I'm saying. A man can teach you, and like Paul, refuse to discipline himself, and is a castaway. His ministry is cast away. His prosperity is cast away. His marriage is cast away. His children don't obey God. You look at his life, you can't believe this man used to minister. It doesn't concern you. It does not mean the things he said, they were not true. It just means that a donkey has thrown away the master that was on his back, and has gone the way of all flesh. He has been cast away. Do you understand that principle? It's a personal walk with God. That's what Christianity is. 2 Peter chapter 3. I said you should open to it. He said, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard. From verse 17. I'm reading verse 17. I want to read 17 and 18. He said, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Now please notice what he wrote there. Before that, he had written a lot of things. From verse 14, he said, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Then describe the letters of Paul. Having said all of these things, he says, since you know all these things, you know that people will fall away. You know that some people will twist the scriptures for their own personal gain. Some people will twist the scriptures for their own destruction. He said, since you know all these things, be on your guard. Be on your guard, like I was saying. He said, how do you do that? You grow in grace. Now, there's this principle I found from here, and you see all of our scriptures. Anytime God says, don't do this, he tells you what to do. And usually the key to not doing the other one is in the doing of this other one. Do you get my point? Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? It said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. That is, you are not supposed to worry about the book departing. You are supposed to worry about meditating day and night. Are you getting my point? If you don't meditate day and night, the book has departed. So the assignment is in committing yourself to meditating day and night, which usually is easy. And what God is saying here is the same principle. that there is a risk in life of falling from your steadfastness. He said the way you tackle that risk is by focusing on growing in grace. And that's what I'm beginning to talk about. I said all the things I've said up to this point to explain to us that there is room for growth in Christianity. And the amount of God's plan for your life you will experience on the earth is dictated by the degree of growth that you achieve. You understand me? The maturity you achieve in life. This is how it works. God's blessings, God's plan, everything that God is pouring upon you, everything that Jesus procured for you, they are heavy. They are called the weight of glory. Doxa, the word doxa, that's glory, in Greek means a weight. It's something that is heavy. Are you getting my point? Once my son followed us to the gym, my friend and I, and he saw us, you know, we just bend down. You pick a 35-pound, 45-pound dumbbell, you know, just pick it up and carry it to where you want to use it to go and sit down and start working out. You know, you just bend down, pick something that's 50 pounds. The boy being like 4 years old, he thought they must be light. So he went, tried to pick one up. The thing didn't bulge. He was so sure they screwed that particular one to the ground. Do you get the point? Any man just, you know, you call it just some men just walking. Just bend down, pick up a weight, just go to somewhere, you know. You know, you're just walking out in the gym and the young boy said, this thing was very light. And he tried to just lift one up. Normally because of the weight, I should worry. Don't enjoy yourself. Don't go near there. I didn't even bother. When he got there, he understood the point. The thing was screwed to the ground, he thought. Therefore, let us assume, my son is saying, oh, daddy, throw me a blessing. I can throw him a bar of chocolate. He can catch that, right? I will not throw him 35 pounds dumbbell. I want to kill the boy. Listen to me, a lot of God's blessings, that's what they do to believers. If God throws those things you are begging for upon you, you will just die. Therefore, he waits until you have reached the level of maturity to be able to catch it and hold it. That is why, listen, you know, Rocky and I were driving down today, we're just discussing about life. And we said, in life, life is not about struggling, no. Let's use, you know, money is a very good way to illustrate what life is about. You see a man working very hard, morning till evening, and he's earning 10 naira. The man who's earning a million naira is probably not sweating as much as he's sweating. So Rocky and I said, I explained something to him. I said, listen, in life, just identify what you're supposed to do each time. And for anything you want in life, ask God for it. What I'm saying is that when you are ready, God will just lift you. He will just lift you to another level. Somebody told me a story of some young boys. They own one of the biggest non-major marketing oil company in Nigeria, right? You know, they have this major marketing oil companies, all the Mobil, Texaco, Agip, all of that. But of the ones that are not amongst that here, they own one of the biggest. That the boys used to sell shirts. What did I say? Shirts. They used to sell shirts. And then one day, one man who was their customer explained to them that, boys, this is not how they make big money. And they explained that, look, we're about to do something. Prepare papers like this. Do this, do this. And filing your own this thing too. And they just helped them, connected them before they knew what was happening. From selling shares, they began to sell crude oil. The same labor, the same effort, the same headache. They had to get imported shares. They had to do it. They have to track customers down. You are still owing us 25,000 naira. You know, the last shares you collected. Now, that will be $25 million, please. The same labor, the same effort, the same phone call. MTN doesn't charge them differently. So this is your phone call. It's to recover the money of the shirt you sold. So pay 10 naira a minute. I'll get this phone call. No big crude when I discuss. It's the same money. In fact, they pay less. MTN, go and meet them. Say, sir, we have this package for you people. Have you seen bankers talk to big men? You feel sorry to. In fact, just by the way, if you have small money, don't go to the bank. Phone somebody. Tell them come and collect it. See, banker talk to big men and say, yeah, you pay 25% interest. Can they ask Jimo Ibrahim for 25% on a loan? Who answer them? If you don't take 9%, take it, go. Big men don't even pay all this. You know, you see COT, you transfer 2,000 naira through your account. The bank will collect maybe like 10 naira because of your 2,000 naira. When a big man transfers 20 million, they don't take one kobo. Because if you take the money, the man was okay, close the account. We are sorry, sir. We are very sorry, sir. we are very sorry. They will be apologizing. But there are some crooked banks in Nigeria. They like poor people. You know, I mean by poor people. Youth coppers, students. Yes. That's what I mean by poor people. They'll be stealing 200 naira from your account every month. They know you can't talk. They know you're not going to talk. What are you going to say? Who will answer you? But the man who has 1 billion in that account, they can't take one kobo. They go to the bank and say, please, our charges are like just 0.01%. Can we collect the amount? He will check it. Are you sure I want to give you that money? What have people done for me recently? they go to beg. But they will not get a lot of students, youth coppers, 200 naira on every account every month. There's one particular bank, you know who I'm talking about. If you're a bad lodge, let's assume that you call your brother and say, ah, bros, school day rough. So your bros say, nothing today, but me, I just send you this 3K. Ah, say, bros, that one no bad now. Your bros drop 3K, they collect 100. Say, because 1 month don't pass, another 100. You draw the first 500 naira from the 3K, another 100. Say, why? The 3K was not lodged in the account, in the branch in which your account was domiciled. Then you take 100 naira, you say, sorry. Because you enter the bank to collect that 500 naira, they remove 200 naira. That why didn't you go to ATM? Then when you use the ATM, they say, sorry, this ATM is not in the branch in which you open your account. By the time they finish, 500 bucks don't come up for the 3K. So next time, tell your brother, text the money, text. No. What I'm telling you is the truth. You know now. They don't do it to you too. You understand what I mean? Uh-huh. That's why I say in life, God, please make me a big man. Yeah, so that if you take my one cup, your manager will explain it right. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Anyway, so I explained, I said, okay, now I said, look, it's not about struggling. Do you get my point? A time comes in with the same labor, and that's what the beauty of Christianity is. And that's why I like to preach to people, don't be discouraged. No, there's no need for discouragement. God is judging you on how you are handling that 200 naira, that 400 naira. He knows. That when he was going to make David king, it was because of what he did with sheep. And there was no connection between being a shepherd and being a king. And look, Samuel hasn't died though. You understand what I'm saying? The spirit of Samuel is still roaming the earth. And God is still calling Samuel and sending him with oil to people's houses, anointing them with oil to make them king in his own Israel again. That's a matter of fact. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So what Christians do is just, look, you have to learn, I preach that message again and again, how to wait for God. It's important because God will come one day. It's whether he will know where to find you. That's the issue. Some people, God has sent their blessings. Say, go to that place, you'll find my son there. He reaches the danger and says, Lord, we're not saying you are lying, but he's not there. The Lord will say, I know. Yes, I have to fulfill all righteousness that the blessing got there. But he was not there. Sometimes it appears as if God is confused as to your whereabout. When they entered the garden, what did he say? Adam, where are you there? Adam, where are you there? Adam, where are you there now? Adam, when he shouted, Adam, I did decide that they hide. Sometimes God behaves as if he's confused as to your whereabout. The reason is because where he placed you, he didn't meet you there. Are you getting what I'm explaining? I hope you are following the point I'm making. Life is not about struggle. It's about being there when God is ready to lift you up. Why did I get into that? So I explained the issue of growing in grace, that there are things that God gives you to do. All right? Don't forget that. That's how God does it. He said, don't do this, but he tells you what to do. So he said, don't fall from your own steadfastness. How do you handle that? You grow in grace. It's important. And the point is that you will see from the way Peter spoke there, obviously it's your responsibility. Spiritual things are unlike natural things. In fact, even natural things, it's the same thing. What I was going to say is that in spiritual things, you have to make the effort towards growth. I just realized that in natural things also, you have to make the effort towards growth. If you don't eat, you don't grow. Food never enters your mouth by one automatic machine. No. You must get up, reach for it, eat the good food. That's the beautiful thing about parents. And that's what pastors are supposed to do for young believers. All right? You teach them what to eat and what not to eat. Children will only eat that which is sweet. But that doesn't help them grow. The parents will force them to eat that which is right. Listen, if you do as a pastor, only what people enjoy. They will curse you later in life. That's a matter of fact. Because now, right now, even me, right now, I look at those days. I say, we're allowed to do this thing. These are the things. You know, let me not go into that. Because the meeting I went for was mature believers that were there. And we discussed a lot of things. You don't do things just because that's what people like. And I've said it before. Any man who does things as a pastor, because that's what people like, is called Aaron. That is his name. That's his ministerial name, Aaron. What is Aaron? Aaron is a man that builds a calf because of the people. The people. So you do, no, because children, if you are to follow children, they will eat ice cream for breakfast with cake. You understand my point? Then chocolate in the afternoon, sweets and chewing gum at night, and they'll be very happy. My son will look and say, I don't like that one. My wife say, you will like it. Sit down. It's good for you. The boy go, they look the beans, say, eat it, it's good for you. You don't like it, it's your problem. I know it is good for you. You've not seen children, parents carry cane, hang over the child, swallow it, swallow. No, really, every believer, no, you see, as a young believer, it's good you have a good pastor over you who will instruct you. I did not see you at Bible study yesterday. Where were you? If I don't see you next Saturday, I will eat you alive. Or bury you alive and dance over your grave. So out of the fear of him, you go. In that process, you get that which is right. That's why Paul will talk about, you know, honoring those who have what they call lordship over you. Those are things actually for young believers. They will tell you where to go and where not to go. What I'm trying to explain: spiritual growth, we must eat what is right. Are you getting my point? We must do what? Eat what is right. And we'll discuss the diet. Time is already going because I don't want to stay late. Though we started late today, but I don't want to stay too late, okay? I would continue developing these things next time. But let me just continue what I'm saying. So he said, grow in grace. That is, it shows that, what is grace? Grace is the manifestation of God's power in your life. People often define grace as unmerited favor. I've studied the scriptures enough. Bible never called it unmerited favor. That's not the meaning of the word grace in the Bible. It's not. Grace is when God's power is manifested in your life. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his power working towards me. That's grace. It's when God's power is working towards you. All right, that is grace. I hope you get what I'm trying to explain. All right, so it's very important you understand it. God said to Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. What is my grace? It's my power made perfect in your weakness. Grace is the power of God manifested. Like Paul will talk about grace that is given to each man according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That is, there are things you can handle easily. People will wonder, how come you can do this thing other people can't? Is because you have the power of God working towards, working through you. And therefore, this point I'm making, you can increase in the amount of the power of God you are experiencing in your life. Do you understand that point? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The more you walk with God, the closer you walk with God, the more you exercise yourself in the matter of the growth of grace, that increases the amount of the power of God you experience in your day-to-day activity. It happened at a point in time. Jesus was so full of this grace of God, the breeze was blowing. He got up and said, peace be still. And they said, what manner of man is this? Those days when we're young, we take all those testimonies and we will look. When the breeze wants to start, you go outside. Oh yeah, breeze, stop. Breeze will blow you down. Waiting, they worry you. You wonder, like, what's going on here? Are you getting honest? It doesn't mean that the testimony of scripture is not true. No. It just means that you need to grow in grace to be able to experience some things. Anything you have to do that, maybe it will work, maybe it won't work. You never reach that level. When the Bible talks about that, when you talk about gifts, accepting your gift accordingly. In proportion to your faith, what it means is that you do things that you are persuaded about and you are confident you can handle. The way Jesus raised Lazarus, that thing, every day, I still pray about it too. I meditate about it. I look at the lives of some men that God's power manifested so much through. Because it was with confidence he told the disciples days before they reached the place. So let us go and raise him up. Our friend Lazarus has died. And it's good for you that I was not there. Because Lazarus will live again. Let's go. When Mary saw him, and also Martha, he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I wish you get the point. He wasn't confessing. I don't know whether I get my point. You know what I mean by confessing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, I'm the resurrection. It's a good thing. You are trying to persuade yourself. You are not sure yet. It's good. It's good. It's good exercise. It's called meditate. Do you understand my point? Jesus wasn't doing that. When he said, I'm the resurrection and the life, like you come to me. He said, what are we going to do? He said, no, do like. He said, how are you sure? Let me give an example. I was in the barber salon one day. One woman, she was asking the barber, what do I do about this thing? On my son's head, he had a lot of, what do you call it in English? I don't know. We call it tinea capitis. Anyway, medicine. All right? He had this thing all over the head. So as the barber went, I just stopped her. I said, madam, number one, I gave her some tips. Don't worry about this. It doesn't harm the child. Don't kill the child. It takes time to go, no matter how effective your treatment. I said, now this is what you are going to do. I gave her some simple tips and some cheap drugs to use, and I think it will take the time to clear. And she looked at me and said, what do you do? I said, I'm a doctor. Is it a confession? It's a matter of fact. I am the resurrection. It's not like I'm just telling you why Lazarus will wake up. It's not. I'm not confessing that I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. Just watch. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lazarus is about to come out. Right now. I'm going to call his name. Just watch. You are trying to convince yourself. Do you understand my point? You are not yet very sure. Do you understand the logic there? When Jesus said, I am the resurrection, it was a statement of fact. And I'm saying this so that that's what Paul meant. Paul read all those things to say, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. But you know what he was saying? He too will read that thing and say, yeah. I don't know whether I get the point. And what I'm explaining is that, look, there are things for believers to do. One of the things we must, you know, let me just begin to stop. I'll continue next time, all right? We didn't read that Hebrews chapter 4 again. We'll read that one day, shall we? We'll go read that. One of the things, anyway, what I wanted to say is that, please, Christians, I want us to have a quest. Do you get my point? In our hearts. That's my own. There's a laziness that has pervaded, you know, it's all over the Church of Christ today. I call it laziness. They don't know it's laziness. Christians don't know it's laziness. Everything. My pastor said, according to pastor, papa said, bishop said, if the man doesn't say, look, it's okay when you're a baby. Are you getting my point? But, bros, you get to grow. Are you getting my point? You have to grow. Men, all right? Sons of God, they grow in. Children of God grow into sonship. We must grow. Let's not just be content. Are you getting my point? The only way you grow, there are two things to it. Well, let me just put three things. The word of God, prayer, and hardship. You will face hardship in life. The sufferings that walk eternal weight of glory. Affliction, they walk what? Glory. There are people who are about to resign jobs. You just got answer. God said, don't resign yet. See, your problem is the money they are paying you. Take it for another 1 year. I can't afford many things. Don't you eat? I've given you a nice landlord. Share the money into two. Half of it, your brother will use that one to go to school. He will live better than you are living right now as a student. Don't worry about it. It's your lot in life. For the next 1 year, you will endure hardship. 500 naira card a month is what I'm allowing you to buy. No recharge card. Any call you want to make after that, pay 15 naira by the roadside. I'm telling you. Listen. You Christians are not supposed to just be looking for where everything is rosy. You will endure hardship. You must do what? Endure hardship. Olayinka and I were talking the other day. He made some statements. We discussed, I don't know what last Saturday or the Saturday before. But anyway, by a week ago, or a little more than that. Describing people that God has blessed materially now. And he said, you had better enjoy this season of poverty. Because a time will come, you will beg for lack, you won't find. Did you hear what I said? Yes. You think, is it possible? It will happen to you one day. You will be looking for, How can a man be broke, self? Okay, I want to trek. Let me trek, Joe. Waiting. You'll be tired of air-conditioned cars. As they'll not see you walking from your house. Daddy, where are you going? What is wrong? I just want to walk. No, sir. Please, enter here, enter here. Enter where? I have 15 cars at my disposal anytime I want. I want to walk. Every building after the 10 cars go, they stop. They go, hey, stop. Good afternoon, sir. Please, sir, where are you going? Enter, let us carry. Hey, people, let me trek now. It will happen to you one day. No, it will happen to you one day. It will happen to you one day. You will beg for poverty, you won't see it. You won't be looking for the opportunity to pray that God will give you rice. God says, which rice? By the time you turn like this, 15 bags, you turn to this, and this is a gift too. You know, it's Christmas. You know the way we finish rich men? During Christmas, we finish them. Everybody is falling over themselves to give them something. That's why when you want to give people things in Christmas, share it to. There are some poor people who are begging, waiting for one. Nobody, and nobody has been remembering you too. So don't worry. It's a season. Don't whine, don't complain. Endure it. Endure it with the word of God and with prayer. You are growing. A time will come when you will call rice and it will be raining like manna. You just say, there's this kind of long rice I saw the other day. You don't know three people heard it. Like the men of David. They will go to the market and say, please, where's the new long rice that came to town? This one is buying 2 bags. That one is buying 4 bags. By the time you come back at night, they say, wait, who carried back come here? They said they heard he wanted this kind of rice. So they all went to buy it. Hey, meanwhile, you have money. After you will be begging for poverty, you won't see. So what I'm saying is that God has given you the privilege to experience it now, something that you beg for one day you won't see again. So enjoy it while it lasts. It sounds funny, but I'm telling you the truth. What would I say? Christians must grow. You know, I said that there are three things: the word of God, prayer, all right, and the ability to endure hardship. Is that okay? But you must look, listen, Christians, we must reach out for things. That's what I'm saying. Are you getting my point? You should have the quest to grow in grace. Stop, you know, Christians are so content with, you know, our papa said, you know, and they'll be quoting it all the time, foolishness. When are you going to be the papa to silver somebody else? The people will be running up and down looking for anointing. Anointing in their house. They are running up and down. I said, I'm not saying these are bad things. I'm saying you must grow. Do you get my point? One day a man asked me, he was describing something. He said, now please try and understand what I'm saying. He said, you know where the Dungeon Camp is? I said, yes. He said, you have been to camp before? Just something was, they were talking. I said, well, I pass by there when I'm traveling. He said, you have never entered camp? I said, no, I've never been to Redemption Camp. He was like, we're having this question around 1996. He said, that was 96, like, how many years ago now? That's 14 years ago, right? Yes. He said, you have never entered camp? I said, no, never went to Redemption Camp. You know what he said to me? He said, this boy, I have always wondered the kind of Christian that you are. I started laughing. He looked at me like, what? How can a Christian have not gone to the Asian camp? I said, they don't do anything there that interests me. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. I said, they don't teach. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's no word there. Do you get my point? But you know, instruction, there's a kind of instruction I listened. I said, it's not bad. I can watch it on TV, but I'm not going to leave what I have to do now to go to camp. It's not a bad thing. I hope you get what I'm saying. No, it's not a bad thing. But I said, Banky does. And you know, point that I never thought about it until daddy, until he told me it was a sign of bad Christianity. And all I could do was laugh. There are those who will say that the 2010 will not be good except they open it in camp. You decrease. So those who are in Brazil, what is going to happen to them? Christians. To me, all those things, a lot of times, they're acts of laziness. You are afraid to take your own destiny in your hands and get into a corner and discover God for yourself. You are afraid. You want to blame somebody's anointing if it doesn't work. It's not your faith. It's anointing. It was not the day early that morning. You want to blame somebody else. Believe me, I think Christians should have a quest driving them in their hearts to want to know God personally. The time should come to an end where you pray in two names. The name of Jesus and the name of Pastor Bank, you know, that kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? It should come to an end. It was okay when you were a baby. Name of Jesus and name of your bishop. You know that kind of thing. It's okay. When you were 2 months old. Oh boy, grow up. You hear what I said? And you know how Christians grow? They eat correct diet. What did I say? They eat correct diet. They don't just sit down and enjoy to be ministered to all their lives. They say, me too, I must become a minister. Do you get my point? I'll be the one pouring forth life into people. That this water I'll give them to drink, it will be inside them, springing up to what eternal life is coming from inside them and producing effect outside. What am I going to say? Look, you should have a drive to know God, to be able to give answers, to be able to make decisions and help those who are younger than you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, growing in grace is, let me use the word, is a commandment in Christianity. You must eat good diet. Growing is automatic if you are eating the correct diet. That's the way it goes. And that's what you put your effort into. The eating of the right words, the eating of the right manner, the eating of the right nutrients. I think Christians, we like, you know, when I see Christians, they say, you know what, enter by the narrow gate. No, we don't like it. It's too difficult. We like the broad gate. My friend said in there, is our church now? It's just a church of declaration. And believers are like that. Lazy people. They just want declaration. Here, he says, Pastor Utai, I'm reading from Psalm 17. Hear your just cause, oh Lord. This year, God, we hear your just cause. Amen. And give heed to my cry. Everybody sitting here, your cry will be heard. Amen. After the man finished reading, you know, lazily preaching to you for 70, you know, for 30 minutes. You're happy you have gone to church. When devil wakes up tomorrow and beats you properly, you understand, you're wondering why. Because the devil knows you have not eaten anything. You're hungry. Spiritually, as you walk out, you stagger. He can see it. Yeah, no substance, nothing inside your soul. You know, I've been to church before that all people are waiting for. In fact, my friend used to go to Redemption Camp. He said some people come there. Eh? They will say, please, when Papa wants to start praying, wake me up. They will lay their mat after cooking beans. Beans. You come to camp to cook beans. Eating. They pack everything. Now tell their neighbor, please, when Papa wants to start praying, you wake me up. All the word that some people will teach, they don't hear it. All the special songs, they won't hear it. Any other thing, they don't hear. Then when Papa says, somebody shout, wake up, Papa don't come. God is going to do something great for somebody before the man finishes saying it. The amen will start from Taraba State. You know what they call Mexican wave? When I look at people like that, sometimes that's the Jew. I they pity him. That even if he wants to speak deep words, these people, they won't let him talk it. Pressure, multitude. Jesus did not like multitude. He used to tell them a few stories and drive them away. So I went forth to sow. Some fell by the wayside. Ooh. Meanwhile, Peter and James and John and Andrew, they are getting angry. And then the birds of the air came up. Birds of the air. Hey, birds of the air. Just looking at them. Afterwards, they all go away and say, my God, that guy can rhyme. Did you notice the way the word rhymed? The sower went for to sow. And some fell. Aiyah, kakabalagadaba. What? Meanwhile, those who came for substance, they came and said, Master, what was that? You know what Jesus said? They are blind people. They don't know anything. He said, to you has been given to know. He said, to those ones, only will they give an gist. Stories to excite them and make them happy. So you came for excitement, not in sport. Multiply bread. Heal this. Just go away. Those who wanted to know were impatient. Peter was looking like, what's all of this? He said, John, so I went for to sow. John said, I don't know. It don't come again. Some fell by the wayside. Which wayside? I don't know for Ramu. I don't know. They say, what was that? He now said, he said, don't be angry, boys. He said, to you has been given to know. Those are the people who, after the multitude had dispersed, they went. And said, Master, please, oh, that Jesus, I don't get the point. What were you talking about? So I went to, so where? He said, let me explain. Then Jesus now began to explain and open truths and teach them openly. A lot of Christians who go around just looking for stories that excite the flesh. God knows, the preacher knows, you're not looking for anything important. That's why he gives you a 15-minute sermon on a Sunday morning and everybody's happy. Now, story you want now. I was in Malawi last week. And as the plane was flying, I just knew that something great was about to happen. Who would receive something great today? Amen! I thought I shared the grace in fellowship. They have all gone. Listen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You don't need them to just be prophesying over your head alone. It has its place. Are you getting my point? It has its place. I'm not saying it doesn't have its place. But you must have the desire to know God and not just to be excited. You must have the desire to get, Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That power of resurrection, for me, is what we should all be. I'm like, You read stories somewhere, say, God, this is what my life should be. And listen to me. Grace is released as a result of growth. The higher you grow, the more grace you can accept and you can hold in your life. One of the reasons why God has not made a lot of us young people, in quote, prosperous, is because this is the time to grow spiritually so you can carry abundant prosperity. Because if he gives you now, you will die. Do you know what I mean? Physical, literal death. And there's never idle time in Christianity. I'm a living witness of the fact that there's never idle time. 1993, I finished my youth service as a young medical doctor. Let me summarize it. And I came to Lagos. Something drove me to Lagos. It was the way God, I hated that city as a person. You can imagine how hectic Lagos is now that Fashola is governor. Imagine what it was before he became governor. So I did not like it. But God led me there through an interesting, manner. And for the next 9 months or so, I did not walk. I tried to walk. I didn't find. But just to fulfill this principle, I'm telling you that there's no idle time in Christianity. God said, I have given you work, except that it does not pay money. Your assignment for now is take a Bible and start reading. My brethren, I studied. I did. Every little money I get, I buy tapes and books. From one day I saw poster, Ron Kenoly, this and they are coming, School of Ministry, everything, convention, Victory Christian Center, I ran there. I would go in the morning and stay till night. I had nowhere else to go. During the break, it was too far away. I would just hang around the premises. I hardly had money to even buy snacks. From there, I will see one poster. It's very funny. I was JJC in Lagos. I will ask my cousin's driver, please. I'm passing on the road, I see a poster. I will copy the address and come home and say, please, I want to go to this place. How do we get there? Go from here, take a bus through here, go here. I will be getting back home. This is JJC in Lagos at 11 p.m. I do a fair share of trekking. JJC. My brethren, I was busy. I listened to Bishop Oyedepo alone. Bishop doesn't teach anymore. If he's not listening to Bishop, you didn't catch him at the proper time. I told you, multitude, they dilute anointing. Multitude, wicked souls, they dilute anointing. Should have known Bishop when I knew him. 2.5 hours ministration at the go. Deep teachings of the Word of God. I listened to Bishop until one day I laughed. My friend, Uche Igboko, he just left 2 days ago. He was in Nigeria again. He said, look at him. He's laughing like Bishop. I didn't know. Is it book? I will go to a bookshop, check what I had in my pocket, calculate the distance. I can track the distance now. I'll buy, use everything to buy a book. Track the rest of the way home. Yes, I wasn't going to clinic and talking to sick people, but I was walking. I was walking. What am I going to explain? In the season you are in right now, the great things you want have not come. That's because God knows that they take a lot of time. And he said, you need time now to go for Bible studies. You need time right now to read. You need time now to pray the kind of prayer that twists the tongue. They never agree marry you. Yeah, there's a reason for it. So that when you wake up at night, it's only you. Are you getting the principle? You don't propose to 6 people. All of that, don't worry. Don't worry. Keep on proposing. I'm not saying you should stop. Just continue. The propositions. Continue. But you don't go to jail until the time is ripe for you to really, do you get what I'm saying? But until that time, bros, get busy doing something, you know, with the Word of God. That's why God gave you the time. Labor, that's what we wanted to read, to enter into that rest. Because anyone that enters the rest will have ceased from his own works. That's what I want to preach next. Let us pray. The breeze was blowing. He got up and said, peace be still. And they said, what manner of man is this? Those days when we're young, we take all those testimonies and we will look. When the breeze wants to start, you go outside. Oh yeah, breeze, stop. Breeze will blow you down. Say, waiting, they worry you. You wonder like, what's going on here? Are you getting what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that the testimony of scripture is not true. No. It just means that you need to grow in grace to be able to experience some things. Anything you have to do that, maybe it will work, maybe it won't work. You never reach that level. When the Bible talks about gifts, extending your gift accordingly, in proportion to your faith, what it means is that you do things that you are persuaded about and you are confident you can handle. The way Jesus raised Lazarus, that thing, every day, I still pray about it too. I meditate about it. I look at the lives of some men that God's power manifested so much through. Because it was with confidence he told the disciples days before they reached the place. So let us go and raise him up. Our friend Lazarus has died. And it's good for you that I was not there. Because Lazarus will live again. Let's go. When Mary saw him, and also Martha, he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I wish you get the point. He wasn't confessing. I don't know whether I get my point. You know what I mean by confessing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, I'm the resurrection. It's a good thing. You are trying to persuade yourself. You are not sure yet. It's good. It's good. It's good exercise. It's called meditate. Do you understand my point? Jesus wasn't doing that. When he said, I'm the resurrection and the life, like you come to me. He said, what are we going to do? He said, no, do like. He said, how are you sure? Let me give an example. I was in the barber salon one day. One woman, she was asking the barber, what do I do about this thing? On my son's head, he had a lot of, what do you call it in English? I don't know. We call it tinea capitis anyway, medicine. All right, he had this thing all over the head. So as the barber, I just stopped her. I said, madam, number one, I gave her some tips. Don't worry about this. It doesn't harm the child. Don't kill the child. It takes time to go, no matter how effective your treatment. I said, now this is what you are going to do. I gave her some simple tips and some cheap drugs to use, and I think we'll take the time to clear. And she looked at me and said, what do you do? I said, I'm a doctor. Is it a confession? It's a matter of fact. I am the resurrection. It's not like I'm just telling you why Lazarus will wake up. It's not. I'm not confessing that I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. Just watch. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lazarus is about to come out. Right now. I'm going to call his name. Just watch. You are trying to convince yourself. Do you understand my point? You are not yet spiritual. Do you understand the logic there? When Jesus said, I am the resurrection, it was a statement of fact. And I'm saying this so that we all, that's what Paul meant. Paul read all those things to say, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. But you know what he was saying? He too will read that thing and say, yeah. I don't know whether you get the point. And what I'm explaining that, look, there are things for believers to do. There are things for believers to do. One of the things we must, you know, let me just begin to stop. I'll continue next time, all right? We didn't read that Hebrews chapter 4 again. We'll read that one day, shall we? We'll go read that. One of the things, anyway, what I wanted to say is that, please, Christians, I want us to have a quest. Do you get my point? In our hearts. That's my own. There's a laziness that has pervaded, you know, it's all over the Church of Christ today. I call it laziness. They don't know it's laziness. Christians don't know it's laziness. Everything. My pastor said, according to pastor, papa said, bishop said, if the man doesn't say, look, it's okay when you're a baby. Are you getting my point? But, bros, you get to grow. Are you getting my point? You have to grow. Men, all right? Sons of God, they grow in, children of God grow into sonship. We must grow. Let's not just be content. Are you getting my point? The only way you grow, there are two things to it. Well, let me just put three things. The word of God, prayer, and hardship. You will face hardship in life. The sufferings that work eternal weight of glory. Affliction, they work what? Glory. There are people who are about to resign jobs. You just got answer. God said, don't resign yet. See, your problem is the money they are paying you. Take it for another 1 year. I can't afford many things. Don't you eat? I've given you a nice landlord. Share the money into two. Half of it, your brother will use that one to go to school. He will live better than you are living right now as a student. Don't worry about it. It's your lot in life. For the next 1 year, you will endure hardship. 500 naira card a month is what I'm allowing you to buy. Your recharge card. Any call you want to make after that, pay 15 naira by the roadside. I'm telling you. Listen. You Christians are not supposed to just be looking for where everything is rosy. You will endure hardship. You must do what? Endure hardship. Olayinka and I were talking the other day. He made some statements. We discussed, I don't know what last time or the other day before. Anyway, by a week ago, or a little more than that. Describing people that God has blessed materially now. And he said, you had better enjoy this season of poverty. Because a time will come, you will beg for lack, you won't find. Did you hear what I said? You think, is it possible? It will happen to you one day. You will be looking for, how can a man be broke, self? Okay, I want to trek. Let me trek, Joe. Waiting. You'll be tired of air-conditioned cars. As they'll now see you walking from your house. Say, daddy, where are you going? What is wrong? I just want to walk. No, sir. Please, enter here. Enter where? I have 15 cars at my disposal anytime I want. I want to walk. Every building after the 10 cars go, they stop. They say, hey, stop. Good afternoon, sir. Please, sir, where are you going? Enter, let us carry. People, let me trek now. It will happen to you one day. No, it will happen to you one day. It will happen to you one day. You will beg for poverty, you won't see it. You won't be looking for the opportunity to pray that God will give you rice. God said, which rice? By the time you turn like this, 15 bags, you turn to this, and this is a gift too. It's Christmas. You know the way we finish rich men? During Christmas, we finish them. Everybody is falling over themselves to give them something. That's why when you want to give people things in Christmas, share it with you. There are some people who are begging, waiting for one. Nobody has been remembering you too. So don't worry. It's a season. Don't whine, don't complain. Endure it. Endure it with the word of God and with prayer. You are growing. A time will come when you will call rice and it will be raining like manna. You just say, there's this kind of long rice I saw the other day. You don't know three people heard it. Like the men of David, they will go to the market and say, please, where's the new long rice that came to town? This one is buying 2 bags, that one is buying 4 bags. By the time you come back at night, they say, wait, who carried back come here? They said they heard he wanted this kind of rice, so they all went to buy it. Hey, meanwhile, you have money. Adam, you'll be begging for poverty, you won't see. So what I'm saying is that God has given you the privilege to experience it now, something that you beg for one day you won't see again. So enjoy it while it lasts. It sounds funny, but I'm telling you the truth. Oh, that's it. Christians must grow. You know, I said that there are three things. The word of God, prayer, all right? And the ability to endure hardship. Is that okay? But you must, look, listen, Christians, we must reach out for things. That's what I'm saying. Are you getting my point? You should have the quest to grow in grace. Stop, you know, Christians are so content with, you know, our papa said, you know, and they'll be quoting it all the time, foolishness. When are you going to be the papa to say over somebody else? The people will be running up and down looking for anointing. Anointing in their household. They are running up and down. I said, I'm not saying these are bad things. I'm saying you must grow. Do you get my point? One day a man asked me, he was describing something. He said, now please try and understand what I'm saying. He said, you know where the dungeon camp is? I said, yes. He said, you have been to camp before? Just something was, we were talking. I said, well, I pass by there when I'm traveling. He said, you have never entered camp? I said, no, I've never been to redemption camp. It was like, we're having this discussion around 1996. He said, that was 96, like, how many years ago now? That's 14 years ago, right? Yes. He said, you have never entered camp? I said, no, I've never been to redemption camp. You know what he said to me? He said, this boy, I've always wondered the kind of Christian that you are. I started laughing. He looked at me like, what? How can a Christian have not gone to the redemption camp? I said, they don't do anything there that interests me. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. I said, they don't teach. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's no word there. Do you get my point? But you know, instruction, the kind of instruction I listened, I said, it's not bad. I can watch it on TV, but I'm not going to leave what I have to do now to go to camp. It's not a bad thing. I hope you get what I'm saying. No, it's not a bad thing. But I said, Banky does. And you know, point that I never thought about it until that day, until he told me it was a sign of bad Christianity. And all I could do was laugh. There are those who will say that the 2010 will not be good except they open it in camp. You decrease. So those who are in Brazil, what is going to happen to them? No, the Christians in Malawi, what would they do now? Christians, to me, all those things, a lot of times, they're acts of laziness. You are afraid to take your own destiny in your hands and get into a corner and discover God for yourself. You are afraid. You want to blame somebody's anointing if it doesn't work. It's not your faith. It's anointing. The oil, it was not the day early that morning. You want to blame somebody else. Believe me, I think Christians should have a quest driving them in their hearts to want to know God personally. The time should come to an end where you pray in three names, in two names. The name of Jesus and the name of Pastor Bank, you know, that kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? It should come to an end. It was okay when you were a baby. Name of Jesus, name of your bishop, you know, that kind of thing. It's okay. When you were 2 months old, oh boy, grew up. You hear what I said? And you know how Christians grow? They eat correct diet. What did I say? They eat correct diet. They don't just sit down and enjoy to be ministered to all their lives. They say, me too, I must become a minister. Do you get my point? I'll be the one pouring forth life into people. That this water I'll give them to drink, it will be inside them. Springing up to what? Eternal life is coming from inside them and producing effect outside. What am I going to say? Look, you should have a drive to know God, to be able to give answers, to be able to make decisions and help those who are younger than you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, growing in grace is, let me use the word, is a commandment in Christianity. You must eat good diet. Growing is automatic if you are eating the correct diet. That's the way it goes. And that's what you put your effort into. The eating of the right words, the eating of the right manner, the eating of the right nutrients.
I think Christians, we like, you know, when I see Christians, they say, you know what, enter by the narrow gate. No, we don't like it. It's too difficult. We like the broad gate. My friend said in there, is our church now? It's just a church of declaration. And believers are like that. Lazy people. You just want declaration. Here, he said, Pastor Utai, I'm reading from Psalm 17. Hear your just cause, oh Lord. This year, God, we hear your just cause. Amen. And give heed to my cry. Everybody sitting here, your cry will be heard. Amen. Give ear to my prayer. God will give ear to your prayer. That time the man finished reading, you know, lazily preaching to you for 70, you know, for 30 minutes. You're happy you have gone to church. When devil wakes up tomorrow and beats you properly, you will understand. You'll be wondering why. Because the devil knows you have not eaten anything. You're hungry. Spiritually, as they walk out, they stagger. He can see it. Yeah, no substance, nothing inside your soul. You know, I've been to church before that all people are waiting for. In fact, my friend used to go to Redemption Camp. He said some people come there. Eh? They will say, please, when Papa wants to start praying, wake me up. They will lay their mat after cooking beans. Beans. You come to camp to cook beans. Eating, they pack everything. Now tell their neighbor, please, when Papa wants to start praying, you wake me up. All the word that some people will teach, they don't hear it. All the special songs, they won't hear it. Any other thing, they don't hear. Then when Papa says, somebody shout, wake up, Papa don't come. God is going to do something great for somebody before the man finishes saying it. The amen will start from Taraba State. You know what they call Mexican wave? Ooh, hey. When I look at people like that, sometimes that's the Jew. I they pity him. That even if he wants to speak deep words, these people they won't let him talk it. Pressure, multitude. Jesus did not like multitude. He used to tell them a few stories and drive them away. So I went for to sow. Some fell by the wayside. Ooh. Meanwhile, Peter and James and John and Andrew, they are getting angry. And then the birds of the air came up. Birds of the air. Hey, birds of the air. Just looking at them. Afterwards, they all go away and say, my God, that guy can rhyme. Did you notice the way the word rhymed? The sower went for to sow, and some fell. Aye, kakabalagadaba, word. Meanwhile, those who came for substance, they came and said, Master, what was that? You know what Jesus said? They are blind people. They don't know anything. He said, to you has been given to know. He said, to those ones, only we're going to give them gist. It's you that call it parable now. It was gist. Stories to excite them and make them happy. So you came for excitement, nothing spoiled. Multiply bread. Heal this. Go, don't just go away. Those who wanted to know were impatient. Peter was looking like, what's all of this? Say, John, so I went for to sow. John said, I don't know. It don't come again. So unfair by the wayside. Which wayside? I can just imagine that John, Peter, and John look at each other and say, which wayside? This man don't begin testing. Some things are not true. Where did you see any sower anywhere? I don't know for a moment. I don't know. They say, what was that? He now said, don't be angry, boys. He said, to you has been given to know. Those are the people who, after the multitude had dispersed, they went. I said, Master, please, do that gist. I don't get the point. What were you talking about? So I went to so where? He said, let me explain. Then Jesus now began to explain and open truths and teach them openly. A lot of Christians who go around just looking for stories that excite the flesh. God knows, the preacher knows, you're not looking for anything important. That's why he gives you a 15-minute sermon on a Sunday morning and everybody's happy. Now, story you want now. I was in Malawi last week. And as the plane was flying, I just knew that something great was about to happen. Who would receive something great today? Amen! Let us share the grace in fellowship. They have all gone. Listen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You don't need someone just be prophesying over your head alone. It has its place.
Are you getting my point?
It has its place. I'm not saying it doesn't have its place. But you must have the desire to know God and not just to be excited. You must have the desire to get, no, Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That power of resurrection, for me, is what we should all be. I mean, like, you read stories somewhere, say, God, this is what my life should be. And listen to me. Grace is released as a result of growth. The higher you grow, the more grace you can accept and you can hold in your life. One of the reasons why God has not made a lot of us young people, in quotes, prosperous, is because this is the time to grow spiritually so you can carry abundant prosperity. Because if he gives you now, you will die. Do you know what I mean? Physical, literal death. And there's never idle time in Christianity. I'm a living witness of the fact that there's never idle time. 1993, I finished my youth service as a young medical doctor. Let me summarize it. And I came to Lagos. Something drove me to Lagos. It was the way God, I hated that city as a person. You can imagine how hectic Lagos is now that Fashola is governor. Imagine what it was before he became governor. So I did not like it. But God led me there through an interesting, you know, manner. And for the next 9 months or so, I did not walk. I tried to walk. I didn't find. But just to fulfill this principle, I'm telling you that there's no idle time in Christianity. God said, I have given you work, except that it does not pay money. Your assignment for now is take a Bible and start reading. My brethren, I studied. I did. Every little money I get, I buy tapes and books. From one day I saw poster, Ron Kenoly, this and they are coming, School of Ministry, everything, convention, Victory Christian Center, I ran there. I would go in the morning and stay till night. I had nowhere else to go. During the break, it was too far away. I would just hang around the premises. I hardly had money to even buy snacks. From there, I will see one poster. It's very funny. I was JJC in Lagos. I will ask my cousin's driver, please. I will copy. I'm passing on the road. I see a poster. I will copy the address and come home and say, I want to go to this place. How do we get there? Go from here, take a bus through here, go here, go here, go here. I will be getting back home. This is JJC in Lagos at 11 p.m. I do a fair share of trekking. JJC. My brethren, I was busy. I listened to Bishop Oyedepo alone. Bishop doesn't teach anymore. If he's not listening to Bishop, you didn't catch him at the proper time. I told you, multitude, they dilute anointing. Multitude, wicked souls, they dilute anointing. Should have known Bishop when I knew him. 2.5 hours ministration at the go. Deep teachings of the Word of God. I listened to Bishop until one day I laughed. My friend, Uche Igboko, he just left 2 days ago. He was in Nigeria again. He said, look at him. He's laughing like Bishop. I didn't know. Is it book? I will go to a bookshop, check what I had in my pocket, calculate the distance. I can track the distance now. I'll use everything to buy a book. Track the rest of the way home. Yes, I wasn't going to clinic and talking to sick people, but I was walking. I was walking. What am I going to explain? In the season you are in right now, the great things you want have not come. That's because God knows that they take a lot of time. And he said, you need time now to go for Bible studies. You need time right now to read. You need time now to pray the kind of prayer that twists the tongue. They never agree marry you. Yeah, there's a reason for it. So that when you wake up at night, it's only you. Are you getting the principle? You don't propose to 6 people. All of that. Don't worry. Don't worry. Keep on proposing. I'm not saying you should stop. But just continue. The propositions. Continue. But you don't go to jail until the time is right for you to really. Do you get what I'm saying? But until that time, bros, get busy doing something, you know, with the Word of God. That's why God gave you the time. labor, that's what we wanted to read, to enter into that rest. Because anyone that enters the rest will have ceased from his own works. That's what I want to preach next. Let us pray.